Her face was drawn and tense, her hair matted close to her nape in a tight ball. She closed her eyes and silently spoke a brief prayer to Gaia, the Earth Mother, that Ryan might be spared from the pounding doom. But her heart told her that nobody could have survived that drop, not even Ryan. They caught up with what remained of the corpse of Countess Katia Beausoleil just as the sun was finally sinking in a copper glow behind a range of low hills toward the west. The river was widening and becoming a little more gentle, flowing between wooded banks of thick gray mud. The head was missing from the body, sunk in some deep pool, ripped away in ragged tendrils of sinew and gristle, the flesh a dirty white color. There was no way of recognizing the elegant, powerful woman who had been their hostess and had brought murder and disaster to them. What remained of the corpse lay sprawled in the mud at the edge of the river.
Should I get it?
As they looked across, a pair of muty fish falcons swooped in from the north, out of the pines. They had wingspans approaching 20 feet and huge, bronze-hooked beaks. Golden eyes looked incuriously at the five invaders of their territory as they sliced through the dusk, settling on the raggedy flesh of the dead woman.
Let it lie, Jack. That bitch got something like she deserved.
I have encountered divine vengeance many times in Deathlands, Dr. Wyeth. To be ripped apart and then be food for the fowls of the air in a river of vile, stinking mud is an apposite ending for that ghastly, murderous person.
No sign of Ryan. Not even a rag of his clothes. Nothing.
Oh, nothing more we can do tonight. We might miss something.
We'll camp a little way inland from the river. No sign of any pursuit from the Ville. Must be a good 10 miles away by now.
For a few moments, they watched the rapacious scavengers as they ate.
Just hope that what's left of Ryan isn't... We'll make an early start in the morning.
Christy was last to wake up the next morning. She had also been last to fall asleep, dropping finally into a restless, disturbed slumber, filled with confused alarms and dark threats. Mildred was kneeling at her side, squeezing her hand.
Bad thoughts, Christy?
What? Oh, yeah, could say that. Was I making a noise?
Sort of a quiet muttering on the side of weeping. I got up for a piss, so I heard you. I don't think you disturbed the others.
Thanks, Mildred.
Christy smiled, though she knew from long experience that even a very slight noise in the night would be enough to wake Jack and JB, both light sleepers. Boots on, she picked herself off the ground and walked over to the gentle river to meet the others.
Good morrow, dear child of nature. A new day. Mayhap a new hope.
Mayhap not, Doc. I know that Ryan's gone. Nobody could have survived the fall, then the river and the canyons. My brain tells me that the best I can do is find what's left and lay it properly to rest. It's just hard to close the book on all your hopes.
Doc didn't reply for a while, and they shared the dawn stillness. A pileated woodpecker with its white face and prominent red crest drilled busily above them in the tree they stood under, oblivious to their presence.
We shall all miss him most dreadfully. He was the finest friend I ever had. He saved my life so many times. Inspired me to carry on when all my senses wished only to give up and succumb to my own heart-broken weakness.
Jack's white hair was blazing in the dawn sunlight as he stared downriver.
Time for us to keep looking.
The sun rose higher and they plodded on, following the course of the river. There was no sign of Ryan's body.
Smoke.
Jack pointed ahead of them to the north, where a thin gray column was spiraling into the air above a stand of aspens.
Looks like a sodbuster shack. Maybe they've seen something on the water.
But the river was too wide for them to get across to ask.
Hey!
Hello!
Hey! Everyone watch out!
Nobody came, the half-open door of the hut seeming to tease them. It gave the illusion that someone was standing just inside it, lingering in the deep shadows, mocking them, waiting for them to leave.
We're wasting our time, probably out hunting or something.
If he was still a floater and came this way, odds are that he'd have passed this way in the dark.
They moved on, Christy giving a last glance behind at the tumble-down shack. A man sat in the darkness of the shack, peering through the doorway, watching the group of travelers as they moved away along the far bank. He was not alone. Ryan lay deeply unconscious on a filthy mattress on the dirt floor, his head bandaged with blood-stained rags, his leg splinted.
All that shouting and shooting and terry hooting. Guess it must be you they's looking for, friend. So near and so far.
It was late that afternoon when Christy saw a trio of ragged men walking slowly toward them from a side trail that wound down from a low, heavily wooded hill. Two of the men were carrying the carcass of a large boar slung onto a pole. All had long muskets across their shoulders. They lowered their burden and readied their weapons when they saw the five strangers. JB held both of his hands out in the universal gesture of peace.
No trouble.
We had enough bastard trouble for one day, mister.
How come?
The man who had been struggling with the other end of the wild pig straightened, wiping sweat from his face. Christy's breath froze in her throat for a moment when she saw the dark patch over the socket of the left eye. The man was inches shorter and many years older than Ryan. He caught her stare.
Seen a ghost, lady?
Yeah. No, not really. Just that you look like someone I know real well.
Your friend looks like Jake here, and it sure must be no painting.
You said you'd had trouble. See blood on the pig's tusks.
Gutted, my brother. Spear broke just when we had it hooked. Came all the way down the shaft after it before we could get a shot at it. Spilled his tripes all over the forest.
Seen it happen. Sorry to hear it. You live near here?
Don't live nowhere. Aim to butcher this and sell it as meat. Hardly any pest holes around this godforsaken place. You seen any life?
No. Shack some miles back. Nobody around. Be glad to share a meal with you. Haven't had good meat for a while.
What do you pay? Cost a handful to jack.
Pay you an ammo.
We use ball and powder, stranger.
Listen, Harv, we may as well be neighborly. This bastard's breaking my back. Let's make a camp and share a portion with these outlanders. Just don't feel like trying to carry old man Pig any farther. Not with only the three of us. We'll never sell in this rat-blasted wilderness.
Hell, why not?
Gus's brother, little Johnny, was buried in a shallow grave a few miles back in the trees. Jack and Harv were cousins, and they had all traveled south and west from the hollers of the Apps, working their way cross-country, scratching a living by hunting and trapping. Now they sat together around a bright fire with Christy and the other friends, relishing the scent of a haunch of pig roasting on a spit. Christy hadn't wasted any time asking them whether they might have seen anything of Ryan, dead or alive.
If he went in the river upstream with them currents and whirlypools, then I have to figure your man's chilled, lady.
Sense tells me you're right. It's just that there's still that spark of hope. Until I see him...
What happens to the river farther west?
Runs across into the Sippy. Way along. Still the biggest and busiest river in all the Deathlands.
Any bills on the way?
Not that we seen.
Except in that ruined place. Half dozen shacks, all burned up. Day back from here, some kind of raid. Happened a couple of weeks ago by the look of it. Trails washed out from the rain. No bullet marks, no bodies. Just a lot of fire.
Is that not a sign of those treacherous mutations known as stickies?
It might be, Doc. They like fires and explosions, don't they, John?
Could be. Haven't had a run-in with stickies for a while, glad to say.
Some barons pay bounty on stickies. Handful of jack for a handful of hands. Reckon we might go hunt on them tomorrow. We'd be a match for a gang of white-bellied muties. They better than dead pig.
Don't taste so good as pig.
Jack poked the cooking meat with the point of one of his throwing knives.
Be ready to eat soon.
The aftermath of the devastating nuking of the United States during the brief and final World War, nearly 100 years earlier, had induced profound biological changes in all living creatures, with no species spared the bizarre and extreme mutations. Stickies were one of the most common and vicious of the humanoid muties. Their faces were often badly disfigured with running sores, diseased noses, and lipless mouths with rows of filed teeth. The name came from their very specific mutation. Their fingers and palms, and sometimes feet, would be covered with a number of tiny, powerful toothed suckers, like miniature mouths, capable of sucking strips of skin and flesh from anything they touched. They were generally of extremely low intelligence, though possessed of a brutish cunning. Stickies often roamed in small packs of a dozen or more, and rarely used weapons, except for clubs and rough spears. Their particular love was for explosions and fires.